This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, verses 22 and 23 and 41 through 43. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Listen now for the word of the Lord in this reading from Galatians, the epistle written by the Apostle Paul, the first chapter, the first 12 verses. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of God the Father, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Thus ends a reading from this epistle. A 1,000 years before Paul's time, Solomon built the great first temple in Jerusalem. Now think about that. 1,000 years ago, in all likelihood, your ancestors and mine were still running naked through the woods, hitting rabbits in the head with rocks. It's a long period of history, to put it in perspective. Solomon dedicated that temple in a prayer. And in that prayer, he said, likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm, when a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built. given all the trouble Paul experienced 1,000 years later with his mission to the Gentiles, that's a darned impressive thing for Solomon to say, don't you think? When a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then here in heaven, in your dwelling place, and do according to what the foreigner says to do. It's an impressive thing for Solomon to say because of what he didn't say. For instance, he didn't say, when a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then grab him and circumcise him quick so that he may be just like us. He didn't say, as would later be the case, actually, in Second Temple time, when a foreigner comes and prays toward this house from the inner court, then take him out by force and stone him, for his presence in the home of the Lord is an abomination. Solomon's prayer is including all of God's creation, and he is presenting God as the God of everyone, no matter where, tinker, tailor, soldier, spy, Jew or Gentile, one God, God of all. In Paul's time, that wide understanding of Solomon had become so narrowly constricted that it was shocking to consider, and it led to so many of the disputes between Paul and the rest of the church. What sort of hoops do you have to jump through to get right with God? Historically, Paul made a journey into Galatia at some point. It's not clear whether it was on his first missionary journey or his second. And he founded churches, teaching them the gospel of grace. In Paul's teaching, human beings get right with God not through obeying the law, but through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We are adopted as God's children solely as a result of Christ's redemptive death, not because of anything we have done or anything we could do. The impulse to save originates with God. Later, missionaries from Jerusalem, Jewish Christians, just like Paul, arrived at these churches in Galatia, and they brought a different message. They said that to get right with God, you have to get right with Jewish law and festivals. It's important to remember that these are Jewish Christians. These are not Jews trying to undercut the new Christian sect. These are Jewish Christians, and they are offering their understanding of the gospel, honestly held, but at loggerheads with the teachings upon which Paul had founded the church. Paul is furious, and so the stage is set. Recently, the headlines have been blaring that the Pope, Pope Francis, said that atheists go to heaven, and since he's infallible, then it must be true. This reflects more upon the appalling state of religious education that our country suffers through than upon what the pontiff actually said. He wasn't speaking ex cathedra, so what he says is not infallible, and he didn't say what the press said he said. Anyway, here's what he said. Not what somebody thought he said. Here's what he actually said. The Lord created us in his image and likeness, and we are the image of the Lord. And he does good, and all of us have this commandment at heart. Do good and do not do evil. All of us. But Father, this is not Catholic. He cannot do good. Yes, he can. He must. Not can. Must. Because he has this commandment within him. That's what the Pope said. Instead, he continued, this closing off that imagines that those outside, everyone, cannot do good, is a wall that leads to war and also to what some people throughout history have conceived of killing in the name of God. And that simply is blasphemy. To say that you can kill in the name of God is blasphemy. Instead, the Pope continued, the Lord has created us in his image and likeness, and has given us this commandment in the depths of our heart, do good and do not do evil. The Lord hath redeemed all of us with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone. Father, the atheists, even the atheists, everyone. And this blood makes us children of God of the first class. We are created children in the likeness of God, and the blood of Christ has redeemed us all, and we all have a duty to do good. And this commandment for everyone to do good, I think, is a beautiful path towards peace. If we, each doing our own part, if we do good to others, if we meet there doing good, and we slowly, gently, little by little, we will make that the culture of encounter. We need that so much. We must meet one another doing good. But I don't believe, Father. I am an atheist. But do good. We will meet one another there. That's what the Pope said. Doing good, the Pope explained, is not a matter of faith. It is a duty. It is an identity card that our Father has given to all of us because he has made us in his image and likeness. And he does good always. Of course, the press confused redeemed with going to heaven and thus emphasized how trivial is the understanding of the Christian faith in contemporary America, which understands the point of being a Christian to be to go to heaven when you die. And that way, and the way to do that is go to heaven when you die, is to please God while you're here. No wonder Paul is furious. If you could be good enough to win a place for yourself in heaven, why in the world did Jesus go to the cross? You have no need of a Savior. You can do it all by yourself. This is the place where things get awkward. Because I think I hear a buzzing in your heads right now, protesting that this is not what you were always taught. You were taught that God sits upon his throne with a scorebook, and you have to please God by living a life of faith, or you get points off and you won't go to heaven when you die. And anything else is heresy. Well, that's the Free Will Baptist, yeah, but this is a Presbyterian church, and that is not the Presbyterian understanding. This is a church founded upon the understandings of a man named John Calvin, a Frenchman. It is a confessional church, a creedal church. The confessions, we are told, are to be used for the education of leaders and members of the church in the right interpretation of Scripture and church tradition, and to guard against the danger of individuals or groups selecting from the Bible or church tradition only that which confirms their personal opinions and desires. The Second Helvetic Confession teaches us in the Book of Confessions, faith is the gift of God. But this faith is a pure gift of God, which God alone of his grace gives to his elect according to his measure, when, to whom, and to the degree he wills. If faith is a pure gift of God, which God alone of his grace gives to his elect, and atheists do not enjoy this gift of faith, but still live lives of compassion and caring for others, what is the big earthquake when the Pope says, the Lord created us in his image and likeness, and we are the image of the Lord, and he does good, and all of us have this commandment at heart, do God good and do not do evil, all of us. Where's the big earthquake? Cannot those who have the gift of faith meet those who have not the gift of faith and do good? Cannot those who have received the gift of faith meet those who have not in confronting those forces which threaten to drag us to doom? Furthermore, if faith is a pure gift of God, how is it that those who have received it would view the gift of God, faith, as a commentary on their personal worth? How did getting into heaven become a wall between those who have received the gift of faith and those who have not? Are we really so self-involved? That getting into heaven wall has got to be torn down. If our Christian faith were all about what's good for me ultimately, it would be a fragile reed indeed. It would be like a mother dressing her children appropriately for the weather, not so the child would be safe and comfortable, but so that the other mothers would be ashamed. It makes no sense. Paul said, "Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ." The Presbyterian Church teaches that the gift of faith is a pure gift of God, not something won by human effort, as suggested by the Jewish Christian missionaries that had visited Paul's church. And it's thus no cause for personal celebration of individual worth. If the faith of our fathers be turned into something so trivial as, "What do I need to do to get into heaven?" Paul would be justified, no pun intended, in rising from the grave and giving us a good smack in the forehead. We live in a time when the apostolic authority to which Paul appealed has atrophied to virtually nothing. People describe themselves as spiritual, but not religious, whatever that means. The church has become the last refuge of gray heads and Sunday school children. God is essentially unknowable, we think, so my ideas about God are no more valuable than yours. There are as many gospels as there are people who have read the scriptures, and Paul got his knickers in a twist for nothing. That's the victory of heresy, that the traditions of the church mean nothing. But Paul rails at the church in Galatia and insists that they are not free to embrace just anything or everything or even nothing at all. There is but one gospel, and it is not of human devising. "For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed to me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Those given the gift of faith will not treat the teachings of the church and the scriptures with disdain. They will instead drink deeply from these two springs, which are the only springs that can satisfy and quench that peculiar thirst. In so doing, they will carry the story and the gospel forward. They will join hands with those of little faith and even those of no faith. They will join hands with Muslims and Buddhists and atheists and agnostics and those only peripherally interested in the church, but committed to compassionate living, which is the root of good in all creation. And they will bring God's creation, the shalom, which is its rightful inheritance. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Living a decent and compassionate life is to be celebrated no matter who does it. Atheist, Buddhist, Islam, Christian, whoever. For it is the identity card that God has given all of his children, to do good and not to do evil. To try and reduce the gospel of Jesus Christ to something as simple as what do I need to do to get into heaven is to turn your back upon God. God loves all of his children, but the gift of faith is given only to those God chooses. And that gift of faith means trust that God's creation is proceeding in accordance with his will. Pray for the gift of faith. Until we meet again, may the love of God the Father, the grace of God the Son, and the communion of God the Holy Spirit go and abide with you this day and forevermore. And God's church said,
Amen.